no secret if you've been around any length of time that I like motorcycles, but you might not know the origin of how that came about. It was the craziest, most stupid idea I thought that I'd ever heard up to that point. I was in a group meeting with a bunch of men in the mornings. We were meeting for a couple of years, and one of the guys said, "Hey, why don't we take our wives, fly out to Vegas, rent motorcycles, and like hang out for 4 days or so with everybody?" And I thought that was utterly ridiculous. It was outside my mind of how someone should spend their time, outside my mind of how someone should spend their money. I hadn't ridden a motorcycle since I was 22 years old, and I was married for 3 weeks, and I sold it because we were low on cash. And I hadn't ridden a motorcycle since, and hadn't thought of riding one since. And my body was on overdrive. Medically speaking, my adrenal glands were fried. They were open all the time, worrying about budget things, staffing things, preaching things, all kind of stuff. And so play was nowhere on my mind at all. We decided to go because I put in my mind of, oh, well, this will be sort of ministry. So I can actually make it work because I'm trying to build in these guys and their marriages. So I'll be able to do that. And what I experienced blew me away. I got restored. I got refreshed. And it actually opened up an entire new lease on life. Two things I've learned that make life work: purpose and play. If you don't have purpose, your life won't work. And if you don't have play, your life won't work. I like to think of these on two axes. I've kind of devised this. I've been thrown around people, and it seems to make sense. You have the x-axis, which is purpose, and the y-axis, which is play. These are two things that if you don't have these things, your life is not going to work well. What is purpose? Purpose is when you have a point for living that day, when you have a to-do list. You have things you've got to get done. You've got people you got to talk to. You've got something that's propelling you to get up in the day. It's moving your day forward. That's why I like it on the x-axis. You're kind of moving. It's like chop, 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 chop. What is play? Play is utterly unproductive. You're not moving. You're not chop, chop. If you are moving and chop, chop on a motorcycle at 80 miles an hour, you're moving and chop, chopping because you're not thinking about anything else that's going to add to your paycheck. You don't think about anything else that's going to increase your notoriety with people. You don't think about anything else that's going to justify that time. You are off and you start to get restored. When you see that the intersection of purpose and play, if you see somebody who has in the lower right corner, who has all purpose, they're going where they need to go, they're working Buku hours every week. I don't even know what Buku hours is, but Buku for you might not be Buku for you. It's a matter of your own personal capacity. When you see somebody that's all about where they're going, what they're doing, and that's all they're doing, it's all they're about, their life eventually becomes painful. Becomes painful. This is where I was. My adrenal glands were fried. I was breaking down physically, gaining weight, back getting worse and worse. I was having to convince myself to do things like preach, which I love and I know is important, but I was having to convince myself and try to fire myself up for it. There was all kind of fraying on the home front and all over the place because I was about working, building a church, doing stuff was important stuff. And without any sense of distraction or play, life became incredibly painful. If you are all play, all being off, not really doing anything that is productive, if that's all, that's another extreme thing. If you're in the upper left, if you're all the way up there, your life becomes pointless. What is the point to your life? This is, by the way, why statistics are very clear. When you retire, and your goal is just to not have purpose, it's to golf or watch Price is Right or whatever it is. When you do that, statistics are very clear. You die sooner because we all need a point to our life. And so if we're only playing, we're only detaching, we're only watching TV, we're only reading novels, we're not going to have something. It's going to be pointless. If you have no play in your life and you have no purpose in your life, you have a pitiful life. It's just pitiful. Nothing is good going on in your life at all. Where I want to get more of us to, it's where I am right now. I have been for a while. That's where I want to get more and more people to. In fact, we're going to do a journey in this fall. A journey is something we haven't done for a year and a half. And we're going to do one this fall. It is a full-on creative press to try to bring an area of spiritual growth to our lives. And we're going to do it this fall. So we shut things down around Crossroads, and we have the best services we possibly can that coincide with groups that we all get in, and also some stuff we can do at home if we want. And it's going to be around this upper right progress quadrant. It's going to be around this entire matrix, actually, having purpose and play. It's going to be getting to a place where you prosper, where you prosper. When you have a high degree of play, and when you have purpose in your life, there is a prosperity that comes to you. Now, I hate to use that word almost, because unfortunately, that word prosperity has been hijacked by the televangelists. And that word is only used by some pastors in relationships who you should give. You should give more so God prospers you. And to be clear, I'm a big fan of giving. The closer I get to Jesus, the more I want to be like him. And he's a giver. He gave his life. So that's a great, great message. But that is such a fine smidgen of what prosperity is. 3,100 times in the Bible, the word prosperity is used. Over 3,100. Let me say, over 3,100 times in the Bible, the word prosperity is used. Here's one of the early ones, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all you do. You may prosper. You may succeed in all you do. Having prosperity, it's being in a land that is lush. It's being in a land where there's purpose. It's being in a land where you don't feel impinged upon and squashed on. It's like there's wide open spaces. You're just living large and enjoying and cruising through life. And this is why God talks about this word. There's all kind of angles to this word over 3,100 times. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 44, verse 17. It says, for then we had plenty of food and prospered and saw no disaster. Man, it's an awesome thing when you have plenty of food. In fact, when all your needs are met and a heck of a lot of your wants are met, that is amazing. One more, Psalm 1:3. It says this. He, who is he? He is somebody who is being blessed by God, who is close by God. He or she is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. Now, there's a lot that's going on here. We imagine, or you can see this, there's a body of water here that's going by here, right? And you've got this tree that's growing. And whenever a tree is growing and its roots are going into the ground, it's going into ground that's right beside the water table. And it's incredibly moist ground. It's luscious, moist ground. Some of us really don't like that word, moist. I know. Do you not like the word? Who doesn't like the word moist? Just raise your hand. All right. I will not say moist anymore. So it's this land where all the vitamins and nutrients are in there and the roots are growing. And when this happens, this tree starts blossoming, growing. It's a figure for what our life should be like. We should be planted beside God where we're feeling his presence and where our heart's going deeper and we're getting more and more grounded in character and in his truth. And while this happens, it says fruit comes out. Now, I think it's interesting that it's fruit. It doesn't say vegetables, it says fruits. I am pro-vegans, I am pro-vegetarianism. I'm not one because animals taste too good. They just do, but I am pro because I have a lot of salads and every time I have a salad, I go, man, I think I could become a vegetarian. I really could. It's wonderful. But like I said, I like the taste of animals too much. But here is the thing that's interesting about this verse. And people are very specific when you want to really, really be healthy and you want to get vegan, they're more specific saying it needs to be a plant-based diet. Plant-based. What are they saying by that? Well, it's basically vegetable-based, plant-based. Fruit is God's dessert. Fruit is God's way to play with our taste buds. Fruit is God's way to give us strawberries and blackberries and explode. And if all God was concerned about was the purpose of you having fuel and energy to do the stuff that you need to do, then there wouldn't be any need for fruit because dessert. If you really want to be healthy and you want to not eat animals, you need to do broccoli and spinach and all the, and I like all those things. But it's interesting this verse says fruit. So when we prosper, there is an advance in our life. We feel like we're advancing. We feel like we're getting things done. We can see points on the scoreboard. The metrics are looking good. There are things that we can measure. And we're feeling pleasure. And we're playing. And our taste buds are dancing just because God is good and because we are human beings. We aren't human doings. And if all we're doing is that stuff, we're going to hurt ourselves. So my request for you is this summer, the rest of the summer, take care of yourself. Don't leave vacation days on the table. Take care of yourself. Know what it is you need to accomplish every week. And as we get closer to this fall, we're going to amp this up because we want the best for you. It's going to be called the Play and Purpose Journey, and it's going to be really effective.
Man, it's good to be with you. My name's Lena Schuler. I'm the Crossroads Anywhere Community Pastor. And just last week, we were out visiting our community in Newport Beach, California. One of the people in that community who's part of the watch party that happens there is my friend Megan. And Megan's got a pretty sweet story, and she actually might be the most joyful person that I know. So why don't we check out what Megan has to say?
Hi, I'm Megan, and I'm out here in Orange County, California. We gather friends from Cincinnati and friends who are locals to meet and do life together. I'm from Cincinnati originally, and I actually met Jesus while I was a college student at the University of Cincinnati through Crossroads. When I was a college student, this is a great way to invite your friends to church if you ever need one. I had some friends who said, come over for a girls' wine night. We're having wine at our house in our living room. Great way to bait and switch your friends into a Bible study, which is what I walked into in my friend's living room. I met Jesus there. I got baptized in a bar. It was awesome. And now I live in Orange County, California, and do life with some awesome people out here. Just this last weekend, I had an opportunity to talk about what life is like being in community. When I had a friend come visit California and say, how did you make so many friends after college? Nobody makes friends after college that easily, and that's super hard to do. What is your secret? And I said, the Crossroads Anywhere map. You obviously just go to church and you make friends at church. Like, what does any 23-year-old do? That's super normal, right? And encouraged her to go seek that out because I have found the most amazing community out here. And get to encourage her on towards her faith and getting to seek that out for herself because that is where joy comes from, is from friends and having community like this. When I was in college and met Jesus, it was not easy at first. It was super crazy to be in a world filled with people who were always wanting to go out. And I used to want to do that, and I still did, but I didn't want to at the same time because I really wanted to live the life that God had for me and walk away from some of those things as hard as it was. So when I met Jesus, I was living with my best friend at the time, literally sharing a room. And my friends, my roommates, people I was in class with would say things like, why aren't you fun anymore? Like, what happened to you? Why don't you do the things you used to do? And I actually got to say all the time, well, I go to this awesome church. You should come with me. I want you to have your life changed, and I want you to experience the joy that I've experienced in that community and knowing a life with God. So please come with me, because that's the best gift you can give a friend, is to invite them to know the God who made them and who loves them. So at the end of college, right after graduation, I actually got to baptize my best friend who I was living with at the time. And there is no greater joy in the entire world than getting to do that. We were on a go trip together, and it was the coolest thing. And she gets to live in that same joy, and we get to share stories of what God is doing in our life all the time now, which is so incredible. Now in the workplace, I just recently had something happen in my professional life, which most people think has nothing to do with your church life or with God, but really it does. I've learned a lot about money. I've learned a lot about how to be a hard worker. I've learned a lot about how to do the things I say I'm going to do, and how to be good on my word and really be a great employee because of the things I've learned in church. I was in my desk recently and I had the funniest, coolest thing happen. I found out I was getting a tax return, and I live in California. So if you don't know that that means no one gets a tax return, it means that you don't get a tax return. It's not a thing that happens. But because I was tithing and just giving the way that I learned to handle my money, my coworkers asked me, well, how the heck did you get a tax return? You know, what do you do? And I got to talk to them about giving and why I give, and that was not a big deal for me. So recently in a staff meeting, I had a coworker say to me, you know, I've really been thinking differently about how I want to spend my money and how I want to be generous because of what you said and because of what that inspired in me. So that was that brought me so much joy to be able to experience someone else taking that on for themselves and hopefully getting to now be generous as well. So in all of these different stages of life, or whether it's someone from the past reaching out, saying, hey, I've noticed your joy on social media. I'm going through a really hard time and you just are full of joy and you have great friends, and that's not really common in the world we live in today. What's the secret? Well, the secret is Jesus. The secret is you go to church and you make good friends and you live in community with other people and you get to do fun things together and you get to gather in homes like this with amazingly hospitable people, and you get to do that because of following Jesus. So in any different setting in life, in any different scenario, there is so much joy in sharing Jesus with friends and in inviting them with you to experience the life that you have because of your life with Jesus. And it's brought so much joy to my life, and it will bring so much joy to your life as well. And if you're on the Crossroads Anywhere map and are looking for somewhere to go on vacation or take your group, your living room full of people on a domestic go trip, come join us out here in California. It's amazing. And this is the best place in the world to do church and do life with people. So.
I couldn't even count the number of times that I've been sitting around a table or someone's living room and the conversation has come up. What am I doing with my life? What's my purpose? Is what I'm doing meaningful? Does it matter? I can think specifically of one dinner I had. It was shortly after I graduated college, and my very best friends came over for dinner in my apartment. We're sitting around the table in the kitchen, and we're just talking about how life is going. And most of my friends, all of my friends, took 8 to 5, 8 to 6, 9 to 9, I don't know, corporate jobs, okay? And so we're sitting around this table, and I was the only one in my friend group that didn't go work at a big company after college. And I remember sitting there, and we're just talking about how work's going, how life's going, and one person after another around that table at some point had a bit of an emotional breakdown. And the conversation went a little something like this. I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know if I'm even passionate about this job. I don't know if I have any purpose at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday or 4 p.m. on a Friday. And person after person had the same feelings, the same experiences. And I was sitting there, and for the maybe the first time, I wasn't the one crying around the table. Usually I can be fairly emotional. And I wasn't for myself in that moment. But my heart broke for my friends who just were feeling so lost and purposeless and like they didn't have meaning. And I can honestly say, I don't feel like that right now. I didn't feel like that then either. I felt this sense of purpose and meaning. And it's not because I work at a church. It actually has nothing to do with the fact that I work at a church. And so there's this whole idea of a meaningful life. Like, how do we get it? Is it even possible? Is it a myth? Is it magic? Is it math? It's really simple, actually. It's just going deeper into your relationship with God and inviting other people into it with you. It's inviting other people to experience whatever it is that you're experiencing. And whether that means that you believe in God this much, you're not even sure yet really if he's real, or if you and God are tight and you've been in this powerful, amazing relationship with God for the last 20 years, wherever you are in that spectrum, God wants to do something in you. He is doing something in you right now. And if you choose to invite other people into it and share it with the people that you're around day in and day out, the people that mean the most to you, your life is gonna have meaning. It's gonna be purposeful. It's going to matter. I really, really, truly believe that. And I believe that because I've experienced it. And again, not because I work at a church. It actually has nothing to do with my job. It's all of the time and all of the opportunities outside of my Monday through Friday, 8 to 6 job. I am the person that loves sharing the new things that I experience. I love it, I love it. So if I see a great movie, you're gonna hear about it. If you're looking for a date night and you live in the Cincinnati area, let me plan it for you because I want you to experience the best restaurants and the best things that I've experienced. Shout out to Soto, Nada, and Boca, David Falk. I hope I get a gift card out of this. Best restaurants you'll ever go to in Cincinnati. Anyways, if I get a great deal on shoes, I'm gonna tell you, when you compliment my shoes, I'm gonna tell you how much they cost because you better believe that they were on sale and I want you to get the good deal and I want you to get to celebrate the good thing with me. That's just part of who I am and how I'm wired. And here's the thing with your relationship with God. I can remember standing in my kitchen in college, actually, and one of my roommates, I wasn't really sure where she was in her faith. I wasn't really sure kind of what she believed at all about God. And I just flat out asked her one time, she was getting something out of the freezer, and she said to me, well, yeah, I believe in God, but it's just kind of between me and God. It's a thing that I actually think is really personal. And then she went back to the freezer and did the thing that she was doing. And I remember thinking, between you and God? Is that right? Is it just between you and God? And now I believe, no. Whatever you're experiencing with God, whatever your relationship or lack thereof with him is, it's not just between you and God. It's between you, God, and everybody that you meet. Everybody that you touch, everybody that you do life with, it is not a thing between you and God. It's a thing between you, God, and all of your friends and your family and your roommates. When God's doing something in you and you're experiencing him in new and fresh ways. So as a kid growing up in church, you know, there were those few Bible songs, those few church songs that we all kind of learned in Sunday school or kids club, whatever you were a part of as a kid. You know, the songs like the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Do you know that one? If you didn't, you should learn it because it'll help you spell the Bible. But there were others too. One of them was This Little Light of Mine. Do you guys remember that one? It went, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. It goes on and on and it says, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. And it goes on to just talk about how we've got this little light and we should let it shine. Well, that actually comes directly from the Bible. We just made a kid's song out of it that's kind of cheesy, but I remember it 28 years later. And this is where it comes from. It comes from the book of Matthew in chapter 5. And Jesus, man, Jesus had a meaningful life. Jesus had a life that mattered. I mean, we're here in 2019, still referencing him, talking about him. I'm actually modeling my life after his, trying to be like him. I'd say his life was pretty meaningful. And so he gives us some like instruction on how to live. And he's doing this to a whole crowd of people on a mountain in Matthew 5. And this is what he says. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus was living such a meaningful life that crowds of people were following him and just like sitting there, listening, wanting to listen to what he had to say. And this is one of the things that he says to them. And we hear Jesus referred to as the light of the world, but right here, you know what he's saying? He says, you are the light of the world, you. That means if Jesus is doing something in you, then you are the light of the world. And what he's doing in you is going to light up your house, your family, all of your friends. And so if God's doing something in you, you can't hide it under a bushel. You can't hide it under a basket. It should be on a lampstand, lighting up your whole home, lighting up all of your friendships, lighting up your workplace. And I've found that when I let my light shine, when I let what Jesus is doing in me out for other people to see and other people to experience, oh my gosh, the amount of meaning and purpose that is brought to my life is unbelievable. And so I just wanna share with you some of the things that I do, some of the things that I've been practicing and trying to get better at to let my light shine, some of the things I've been practicing, trying to get better at to invite people in to experience God with me. And it's been giving me purpose, and I hope that it might give you some purpose too. So here's the first thing. I regularly choose to pray. Now there's all kinds of ways we can pray, all kinds of things we can pray about, but specifically, I pray for my friends who I want to experience God. I pray for them by name. I pray for them regularly in a regular rhythm. And so one of the things that we started doing as little kids in my house growing up was we had a paste list. This was a list of names that went on our bathroom mirror that every time we pulled out our toothpaste and brushed our teeth twice a day for 60 seconds apiece, as the dentist says, we'd stand there brushing our teeth. And you know, you're kind of standing there looking at yourself in the mirror. Maybe you're like thinking about your day. And instead, what you could do is you actually could look at the list of names on your bathroom mirror, and for 60 seconds, twice a day, while you brush your teeth, you can pray for your friends and your family by name who you want to experience Jesus. I do this right now. We just moved into a brand new house, and I just wrote the names on my mirror yesterday. Here's a picture of the names. Hopefully you can't actually really read them, because if one of you is here and watches this, it might. That's fine. And so these are the names of people that I love dearly that I want to experience God the way that I'm experiencing God right now. You know, we can work, and when we work, we work. And when we pray, God works. And so there's an opportunity for us to pray regularly for the people that we want to experience God the way that we are experiencing him. 1 Timothy 2:1-5 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. One of these people that I did this with was Megan. Megan, the spark talk that you just saw, was someone who I met as an Eager Beaver freshman wearing a lanyard walking around campus. And she was so far from God. And she wouldn't mind me telling you that, because she believes that to be true and she tells everybody. And I put her name on the mirror in my bedroom in college. And every time I curled my hair or straightened my hair or did anything to my hair, I would pray for Megan. And man, 3 years after that first prayer, I actually got to watch Megan receive Jesus. I got to be part of that. I got to baptize her. And now Megan is sharing her faith. Megan is sharing what she's experiencing with God with all kinds of other people all the way across the country. And it's beautiful. And oh my, is that fulfilling? And does that bring meaning to my life? Now, here's the second thing that I do, is I actually use my words. I talk to the people that I want to experience God, and I share with them what he's doing in me, what he's doing around me, and I want them to know. I want them to hear my story. And this doesn't mean that, like, I have this 5-minute deal, this spiel that I tell people from start to finish that's tied up with a bow of how God changed my life and everything's amazing. No, not at all. It means when someone asks me the question, hey, what's new? I intentionally think about what's something I could share that might pique their interest in what I'm experiencing at the church, or might pique their interest in what I'm experiencing with God. And so I intentionally have to think about, how am I gonna use my words to share with other people what God's doing? One of these times, I have a friend who a few years ago really unexpectedly lost her mom of cancer. And so when I say unexpectedly, I mean none of us expect to lose a parent at 20-something, right? Like, before we get married, before we have kids, before we hit all these major milestones. And so we were actually at one of the local bars together, the big group of friends, and it was the day that her mom had passed away. And so she came in just emotional and really not well. And I debated, I was like, should I say something? Should I not say something? Like, what's helpful in this moment? And I felt like, man, I've really experienced the comfort of God. I've experienced the peace that surpasses all understanding. I've experienced hope that comes after death, maybe way, way after death. And I wanted that for her. And I didn't want to keep that a secret. I didn't want to just sit there and have a beer with her and pretend like nothing happened. And so I just asked her, I said, hey, you know, one of the things that's been really helpful for me is just prayer. Like, when I talk to God, I actually feel something different. And I know that this is really crappy and this is really hard. I would love to just pray for you to be able to feel comfort in the midst of this, if you're okay with that. And of course, she's through tears, like, nods her head. And so I get to pray for my friend who's experiencing something terrible. But I had to use my words. I had to actually go outside of my comfort zone and say, hey, I believe in this thing, and I've experienced this with God. I'd like to share it with you. Now, I don't know if her life is totally different now. I don't know if she has this major, deep relationship with God right now. But what I do know is that in that moment, I believe I did what God wanted me to do. I shared him. I shared what I was experiencing, what I have experienced through him. And so, and maybe you've been healed. Maybe you've experienced a miracle. Maybe you're in the midst of a miracle. Maybe God's brought you comfort that doesn't make sense, or peace that surpasses all understanding, or maybe he's pulled these puzzle pieces together in your life that shouldn't have come together, but they did come together. And you've got friends who are experiencing something hard or something new, or who are longing for what you have. You can use your words to share with other people what God's done in you, what he's doing in you, what you've seen, felt, experienced. And you can share that and hopefully pique some interest for your friends to want that. It then says, but Jesus said, now go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he's been. So this man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Since the time Jesus was walking around with people, he was saying, yeah, pray for people and tell people when I'm doing something. Tell them. I want them to be amazed. I want God to get the glory for what he's doing through prayer and through the work of sharing. And lastly, one of the other things that I do is I choose to invite. I choose to go one more step beyond just sharing and actually invite people to experience God with me. So this is really simple, actually. Three words to remember. If you're trying to figure out, like, how do I invite this person? If you can remember, you, I, and so, it's a really simple way to invite. So you start with a, hey, you right now, you just had a brand new baby. How exciting, congratulations. I just had a baby a year ago. And when I had my baby, I freaked out. I was like, I don't know how to be a parent. No one trains you in how to be a parent. But at Crossroads, we've got this great thing called Kids Club that I would love for you to experience with me. So do you want to come with me sometime? If you live near a Crossroads site, that might be a really easy way for you to invite your friends. Or maybe it's something like what happened with my friend a few years ago, and you say, man, you are going through something really tough that I hope nobody else has to go through, because it's really hard to lose your mom. I've not experienced that. I don't know what that's like, but I almost lost my mom once. She had a stroke, and we thought that she wasn't going to make it. And in the midst of that feeling, I had to lean on God, and I had people that I could call to pray for me that I've met through the church. So would you maybe want to come and watch church with me in my living room with some of my friends who experience church that way and who would be great people to pray for you when you experience something crappy? You, I, so, really simple. And if you've got friends who are maybe entering into a brand new life stage, new baby, new home, new marriage, or ones who are going through crisis, divorce, loss of someone they love, those people, they're longing to experience comfort and peace and community, the things that maybe you've experienced in the midst of the church. Those are great people to invite in to experience what you're experiencing, whether it's through showing up to a church building or watching something online or listening to a podcast. We've got to pray for our friends. We've got to share with them what God's doing in us. And then we have to invite them into something, invite them into community with us. 1 Corinthians 9 says, when I am weak, when I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. I want you to do everything to share the good news and to share in its blessings. God has uniquely made you with specific gifts and talents and passions and desires, and he's made you to have a meaningful, purposeful life that matters. I got to meet and get to know a family who, they have a meaningful life right now. Their life is mattering. They're impacting all kinds of other families and individuals who live in the Los Angeles area. And they've got a pretty cool story. I'd love for you to just meet them and see what God's doing in their lives and in their home. Let's meet the Byerlys.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Byerly.
And I'm Robert Byerly. And we live in Newport Beach, California. I think we started going to Crossroads before we moved to Cincinnati in 2003.
The first journey that we were part of was the Consume journey. And I think for us, that was the first time that it's ever really been explained to us that everything we own is God's. That was really impactful for Robert and I because of the way it changed our thinking. And we also just grew a lot. We grew in community during that time, so it was super impactful for us.
So we moved to California the first time in 2012. I had an opportunity with my job, and we came out and had the choice to live in a couple different places, and we landed on Orange County. So we had met some families through school. Stephanie had hosted a Labor Day back to school, kind of hang out, brunch at her house. Everyone shows up at 11 o'clock and people ended up just hanging out until, you know, early afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock. It was really the first group of people that we'd connected with that we really liked. So Stephanie had suggested, hey, why don't we do a journey deal together with all of you? And they're like, what's a journey? And then when we went on to explain it, it was a small group deal, and but we just created a place where people can hang out.
We say, bring your kids, come late, which is
always happens in California.
Yeah, yeah. Our goal was really just to build friendship and relationship with other people. It wasn't to keep some kind of timely schedule.
And that's how it started. So if it weren't for the idea of the journey group, if it weren't for the idea of inviting people into your homes, we wouldn't have had invited them over and made that connection with them.
Yeah. I'm Megan, and I'm part of the Crossroads Anywhere community here in Newport Beach, California. So when I finished college, I accepted a job in Orange County, California, after graduating from the University of Cincinnati. Literally, besides my job, I had no idea where I was gonna live or really what life was gonna look like at all. I was super scared to move. Then at the same time, when I got to California, I road tripped out here with two friends from Crossroads actually. And when I got to California, sent them on a plane home and literally had nowhere to move into. I found a place to live, thankfully. Following that, the goal was to find community. So I had put myself on the Crossroads Anywhere map. I put my pin on my office actually because I didn't know where I was gonna be living yet before I moved out here. And then once I moved out here, I put my pin on my home location. They had seen me on the map and we actually met in person at a Young Life dinner. They said, oh, we're Robert and Steph and we're from Cincinnati. And I said, well, I'm from Cincinnati. What are you guys doing out here? We left Cincinnati on the same day and we couldn't believe that we didn't know each other in Cincinnati because we had a lot of different mutual connections. They invited me over for coffee, they invited me over for dinner, they invited me over for everything and to do every little piece of life with them and with their family.
And we were in a mode of trying to find people that were from Cincinnati or part of the Crossroads community that were living in and around Orange County. So we just kind of look, okay, who's on the map that's here? I remember going online and seeing, who's this Megan Pope person? So I think you might have reached out or something, but we just tried to get connected with her. We're invited to go to this Young Life event on, it's their annual fundraiser. So a good friend of ours, a guy named Dan Chambers, said, you know, I was at an event and there's a lady named Megan that's from Cincinnati and she's, you know, younger and she went to a place called Crossroads or whatever. You start thinking about it, wait a minute, is that the same person that was on the map that Dan knew?
I think we instantly had the excitement for Crossroads.
Yeah.
I think that instantly connected us.
I mean, it's funny, we want to protect her and take care of her and check in on her. And yeah, so no, she's like family to us, really.
Yes.
Well, the first like 6 months that I was out here and really didn't have a lot of stability yet, my car got hit without missing a beat. Steph just tossed me her keys and I drove her car around to work for 2 weeks until I could get my stuff straightened out. The first year that I was out here in California, I actually couldn't go home for Thanksgiving. So naturally I went to the Byerlys. I kind of joke with my friends who are my peers, like my California mom and dad, I'm going to hang out with my California mom and dad, or I'm house sitting for my California family, or I'm watching the dog or walking the dog for my California family while they're out of town. I get the example of what it looks like to be generous with your money and what it looks like to have a marriage that's centered on Jesus and what it's looked like to be really faithful to your career and to your family at the same time. Getting to be part of someone's family and someone's home and someone's life, it's so natural for me to get to pick up on these things and get to see these things that they do.
We all need community.
Yeah.
I think the longer we've been married and the longer we've had kids, we've just realized that you have to lean into other people. When we share our wounds and our weaknesses, it's the best way that people can connect with us. Yeah. And I think a lot of times when you don't know people very well and you're in a new situation, it's really intimidating to just invite strangers into your home and not really know how they're gonna receive that. But I think because we were growing along the way, we just knew that it was something that was so meaningful to us.
Everyone should have the chance to experience what I've gotten to experience, which is moving somewhere new, not knowing anybody, but because of my faith, immediately having community and having friends.
What I would say to somebody if they're a part of the Crossroads community and they're watching online and they're at home or they're in a coffee shop and they're by themselves, I would just say be invitational and ask somebody to watch with you, right? Whether it's in a coffee shop or whether it's on your, you know, hanging out on the couch. Because people want to be invited to something. They want to feel a part of a community.
I found community through Crossroads Anywhere, and I'm so thankful.
Encouraging is that? Man, I'll tell you, if you ever get to meet that family or those people in person, you're gonna love them even more. Well, two of the things that you heard them mention in their story are things that actually you could do right now. You could start thinking about doing right now. The first is they mentioned a journey, this all church journey for 5 weeks that the whole church does together, where we get into groups and we get to experience church on a deeper level with other people. And so that's actually coming up in the fall. It's the Play and Purpose journey. You can head to crossroads.net/journey to check that out, but be thinking about whether or not you might want to lead a group for the very first time, host the journey in your home. It could be a great way for you to get connected to community wherever you are. Speaking of getting connected to community, the other thing they mentioned was the Connect map. And so maybe you are about to move, you've just moved, maybe you've been in Southeast Indiana or South Dakota for a long time, but you've not actually met other people who are part of the church there. If you head to crossroads.net/connect, you can put yourself on the Connect map. You can search for people who are near you, groups that are happening near you, and you can connect with other people through that tool. It's pretty sweet. Well, if you want your life to matter, another way that you could have meaning is you could invest your money in meaningful things, in things that matter. One of the things that my husband and I invest our money in is the church, because we believe that the church is the best rescue plan for all of humanity. We believe that God's gonna do amazing things in the church and through the church. We've seen it, we've experienced it, and we want others to experience it too. And so we invest our money here. And so if you want to become a giver, you can do that by heading to crossroads.net/give and invest in something that has purpose and meaning and might just make your life matter in a whole new way. Next week, we start a brand new series called How to Hear from God. And a new series is a great opportunity for you to open up your home and invite other people to watch church with you, to experience church with you. So maybe you want to start that next week. We'll see you back for week 1 of How to Hear from God.